doers, mowing season is here. With Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas-like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas-like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower, just $329, during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Circling the Bases. My name is Chris Crawford. Colin is taking however you pronounce that word. He's no longer with us for the week. He will be back next week. Make sure we clarify that really good, Colin and Colin's family. But my guest today is my good friend and my good colleague, George Bissell. George, how's it going?
Hey, Chris. Great to be here filling in for Colin. We've reached that exciting part of the season where every roster is different from the way it was 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
And I mean, we follow this closer than almost anybody. And man, you're having to look and check like what's going on again. So we've reached that point of the season where it's absolute chaos, but it's a lot of fun. And we're going to talk about a lot of it tonight.
Yeah, George informed me, like, before we started recording, took a nap and found out that Shane Langeliers got promoted to the Oakland Athletics. That's fun to see. Interesting profile, I think, for 2023. I assume there's no way in heck Sean Murphy is still a member of the Oakland Athletics next year, because why pay money when you've got Shane Langeliers ready? And Shane Langeliers, honestly, Sean Murphy's a good player. I think Shane Langeliers might be a better player. If you're playing in a two-catcher league, he would be someone that I would definitely recommend. And he could be somebody, if you're really one of those people who's struggling at the catching position, I can think of worse options. But we're going to talk a lot about, so look, it's August 16th. We know a lot of you, unfortunately, the year is over for you. And, you know, as a prospect guy, I like to look towards the future anyway. It's a way to be optimistic about life in times when sometimes life doesn't give you a whole heck of a lot to be optimistic about. That's what prospects are for, baby. But we are going to talk about some young players who are performing pretty well and where we were going to be looking to draft them. But before we do that, we are going to talk about one call-up, because I told Georgia we were going to talk about one call-up. The Mets are bringing up Brett Beatty, who is one of the very best third base prospects in baseball, has not played a whole heck of a lot in AAA this year, just got the call-up about 2 weeks ago, is hitting 364 in his very short time frame. I'm a big fan of Beatty long-term. George, what do you think about him for the rest of the 2022 season?
So my understanding is that they wouldn't be calling him up if they weren't concerned about Eduardo Escobar at the
correct
moment, because they made the move to replace Luis Guillorme with Devin Marrero. Because if you're going to call up Beatty, you don't want him sitting on the bench. You'd rather have him playing every day in AAA.
100%.
So this seems to signal that they envision him as a guy who's going to come up and play every day. He's probably going to hit towards the bottom of the order. I can't envision them shuffling pieces around when you have guys like Nimmo, Starling Marte, and then you have your middle of the order with Lindor and Alonso. But obviously a guy who excels at making contact, put up some big numbers at AA this year in 89 games there, was hitting .312 with 19 home runs. So statistically, the profile is great. From the times I've gotten to see him, you know, from the Arizona Fall League last year and the All-Star Futures game about a month ago, you know,
sure.
Guy who's going to make contact, I don't think he's going to be overmatched at the highest level, and really projects as one of those prospects that could come up and make an impact if he gets hot. And it's going to be tough for them to send him back down, I think, because the temptation is going to be, if he excels, they're going to want to keep him around and keep him on the postseason roster. So if he's hitting, I don't think there's a chance he goes back down. He might be here to stay for the rest of the season. That's my impression at the moment.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would say that you're looking more at a starting corner infielder maybe than a starting third baseman. But because third base is such a it's a position, all right. It is a chance. I think there is a chance that he could be maybe in that back end of that team. Definitely taking a look at him. Definitely adding him to my roster and seeing how he goes. A guy who hits for average, I will point out, did strike out 104 times and 362 at-bats this year. That's not, like, elite, but at the same time, he stings the baseball. And he uses all parts of the field. He's still tapping into his power. I think he can be a 25 to 30 homer guy when all is said and done. He's probably closer to the rate that he's putting up now, which is, you know, right around that 20 to 25, but let's knock it down a little bit because he's going to be facing MLB pitching. There probably will be an adjustment period, but at the end of the day, I think Beatty is a guy that you definitely want to add to rosters.
You brought up a good point about the strikeouts. The thing I like, though, is that his walk rate's right on 11-12%. So it's not like the plate skills are poor. It's not like
not at all.
This is a pretty advanced approach, and maybe in trying to tap into some more of that power as it develops, he's maybe striking out a bit more than he would have with a different type of approach. So yeah. I think the plate skills are good. Yeah, you're right. Yes. There are going to be some strikeouts there, but this is a guy who we think the plate skills will work at the highest level.
Absolutely. And what he is he's a guy who's comfortable in hitting in two strike counts. And when you're comfortable in hitting in two strike counts, it doesn't matter how good you are as a young player. Two strikes means you only got one more. I am a math expert. But yeah, I'm definitely adding him to rosters. Be really curious to see how he does. Also, can't help but wonder if this is not the last call-up we see from the Mets in terms of big prospects. I know they've been kind of weird about stuff, but I do wonder if we'll see just one more guy coming up, George.
Yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about. For everybody out there, Chris referencing our guy, Francisco Alvarez. And
yes, sir.
Alvarez is, you know, he's kind of struggled a little bit since getting called up to AAA. But
very much.
He's only 20 years old, so there aren't a lot of 20-year-olds in AAA. look, the ceiling's pretty unlimited there, but I think the question is, does he make sense as sort of the backup catcher?
Yes.
Playoff roster, someone you can bring off the bench to pinch hit and then can come in the game if you need him to stay in. He fits that role. It wouldn't shock me at all if that's the direction they go. He's probably a better option for them. I think they're rolling out Michael Perez at the moment as their backup catcher because Nido's out. But there's a chance we see him late September. I think if he had been hitting like 400 in AAA, I think they might have done it here when they had the chance. But it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, the numbers are going to have to start getting better for him. Just for those who are unfamiliar, this is a guy who had a 921 OPS in Binghamton. It's 715 in AAA, which is not abhorrent by any means, but he's hitting 176. It's really being carried by the fact that he's drawing quite a few walks, which is good to see. It's good to see that the approach is carrying over, but the hits are going to have to start dropping. So let's talk about 2023. Such a weird thing to say, but let's talk about it. We're going to be talking about some of the young players who have had mostly good seasons, some of them a little injury prone, some of them a little up and down, but most of these guys have shown reason to be excited for them, not just for 2023, but in the long term, and have produced more most of the time in 2022. And let's start off with the overwhelming, in my personal opinion, 2022 Rookie of the Year favorite in Julio Rodriguez. And what I want to ask you, George, is with all of these guys, where are you ranking / drafting / whatever way you want to call it, Julio Rodriguez to begin the 2023 season?
This is always a tough exercise because if I had come on this podcast in mid-March and told you that Juan Soto was going to play more games for the Padres this season than Fernando Tatis Jr., you would have looked at me like I had three heads, but I would have been correct. Maybe a little bit. So look, this is a snapshot in time. We don't have a crystal ball. We don't have all the answers. But as of right now, based on what I've seen so far this season, projecting out forward, Julio Rodriguez is one of the most immensely talented players we've had come into the game in a long time. And I don't think it's hyperbolic to suggest that he could be a consistent 25, potentially more, challenging for 30 plus homers as he matures and fills out physically even more, which is a scary thought.
Yeah.
This is a guy who could potentially be a baseline 25 homer, 25, 30 steal guy. And that's what he'll probably end up around this season. And just going back historically, looking at guys age 22 or younger who've had a 20 homer and a 20 steal season, there's only seven guys who've done that in the last decade. And you have Tatis, Acuna, Manny Machado back in 2015 with the Orioles, Mike Trout, back in 2012. Jason Hayward in 2012 as well. And Mike Trout again, 2013, the year after. Mike Trout, man, just incredible run there at the start of his career.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
But that's the caliber of power-speed combo we're talking about here. There's just aren't a lot of guys who do this. So I think you have to consider him in the back half of the first round. The only reason I say that is because I think those upper echelon aces are going to get pushed up to the top of the first round.
Yes.
I think there'll be a couple there. The price of a premium workhorse starting pitchers is going to be astronomical, as it was this past season. I think that'll happen again. And there are guys with more of a track record that you look at, like a Jose Ramirez, where they're still kind of in their prime and producing, and it's just going to be hard to take Rodriguez over someone like Acuna, or I mean, even Tatis will be in that discussion. I mean, I think he's baseline middle of the first round safe pick in drafts next spring. That's if I had to ballpark it right now, that's where I would be.
I'm right around there too. I'm saying somewhere between 8 and 15 is probably where I'm ranking Julio Rodriguez to begin the season. Like, if you look at the overall numbers, they're good. Like, I think he has an OPS plus of 129. That's very good for anybody who stands, much less a 21-year-old, you know. But I think people forget how much he struggled to begin the year. This was a guy who was hitting, at the end of April, 206, 284, 260. He was slugging 260, and he had struck out 30 times in 81 plate appearances. And look, this is somewhat based on the fact that I got to watch this guy play every day, being located where I am and my grandma rooting for this team as hard as ever. So many of those were called strikes, and so many of those were called strikes that weren't actually strikes. Like, Julio Rodriguez had a horrible round of luck or a horrible round of umpires saying, welcome to the big leagues, kid, where he just didn't get calls. And since May, the strikeouts are still there, but not nearly at the rate that they were. He was not striking out at once every 2.5 plate appearances like he was in April. And he's making so much more hard contact and has made those adjustments. He's figured out the way to be assertive without being over aggressive. I think the future for this kid is so bright. I have been so impressed with him since the start of May. And I was impressed with him even too, not losing his composure while watching pitches 6 inches off of the strike zone get called for strike three. I can't even imagine how frustrating that might have been. It's, you know, it'd be fun to kind of play the name game here a little bit. Like, are you taking Julio Rodriguez over Bryce Harper?
Oh man, this is so difficult. I mean, the Harper thing is weird because the injury was kind of fluky, and yes, he's been durable the last couple of years. So I think the floor is higher with Harper. Okay. But the thing that we both love about Rodriguez is, from a fantasy standpoint, the stolen bases are really what are going to buoy in his value and insulate against the risk that he hits 240 and the power maybe dips. If he's still stealing bases from a fantasy standpoint, you're still going to get that return on where you drafted him. It's right. Not like there's going to be a total collapse and he's not even worth close to where you picked him. So that's sort of the nice thing about him as well with his profile. You know, the speed may trail off in a few years, but that's not a concern at the moment.
And I will point this out too, is he's probably not going to steal very many bases for the rest of the year because the Mariners are not going to risk another wrist injury for him, the third in something like whatever period. So he may only end the year with like 25 or 26 steals, but that's not indicative of the talent profile. Like, he's going to have the green light, assuming everything is good, to begin next year. He's going to be running at a much higher rate. Let's talk about let's talk about another young player who I've been really impressed with as well, especially again after a slow start. Adley Rutschman. So Adley Rutschman got, I think he would have been a guy that would have made the major league roster, as much as I like to doubt the Orioles, especially, oh God, I don't want to think about that trade deadline again. Especially, I do believe he would have made the major league roster if not for his injury. Has been pretty solid. Now, not perfect in terms of batting average, but the approach, everything else. George, where is Adley Rutschman ranking for you in catchers next year?
Man, that's tough because catcher has been really bad. I look at JT Realmuto kind of fell off. Dalton Varsho hasn't really done what we expected. Wilson Contreras has had a good year, but I think you can – this is kind of what we felt coming into the year. I think you could – if you wanted to be aggressive on the playing time, you could have probably projected him in the back half of the top 10 at the position. So there's a lot of variables here. Like, what does Salvador Perez look like? Is Alejandro Kirk still a catcher? Like, there's a lot of variables that go into this position. So I feel comfortable sort of that 8 to 10 range probably a catcher, just if, off the top of my head. But – you know, Rutschman's done everything we kind of thought he was going to do. After that initial adjustment period, he's really come on lately. He has a home run tonight as you record this. So he's up to seven now and just under 300 plate appearances.
Yeah.
So if you give him 500 next year, that's you're looking at probably 18, 20 home runs. And there's not a lot of guys who do that at position anymore who aren't batting average sinkholes. So I think he's safely in that top 10 range at catcher. I don't think there's a lot of risk there, especially when you consider that he's the face of the franchise, and they're going to give him every opportunity to play and succeed.
You ready for hot take, McGee?
Sure, go for it.
By the way, real quick, what do you think Adley Rutschman ranks right now in Yahoo leagues in catchers? Just guess.
Yeah, I was just thinking he's probably in the top 15 already. I'd say like 12. I don't know.
You hit the nail on the head. He is 12.
Seriously, don't have enough. I have no clue.
Good job. Well done.
A catcher's bad. Like, there's
Catcher is bad.
Like, is MJ Melendez is up there too? I just
MJ Melendez is just one spot below him.
Okay,
yeah, at 13. Yeah,
like, I'd rather have Rutschman for sure next year, but Melendez is another guy who I think like is going to be sneaky valuable.
100%, and he might have outfield eligibility too. So that's something to keep in mind as well. Hot take, McGee.
That's a good one.
Adley Rutschman will be my second ranked catcher next year. I am only ranking Will Smith ahead of Adley Rutschman. I just believe in this guy's plate skills so much. I think the power is going to be better. I think, first of all, in an on-base percentage league, an easy number two. I don't think you can really even debate that. Like, Alejandro Kirk may be the option. We're not even sure if Alejandro Kirk will be the starting catcher for the Toronto Blue Jays next year. And it's slowed down pretty good, especially in the average category as of late. I just believe in Adley Rutschman's skill set so much. Like, he is the most talented catcher that I have scouted, and it's not particularly close. And just watching him track the baseball and being able to make the contact that he does from both sides of the plate and recognize these pitches, I'm so enamored with that skill set. And I will be honest with you, it's a huge risk to rank him that high, because there are, you know, catchers not good. But, like, Will Smith has had a very strong season. He will easily be catcher one for me. Wilson Contreras has had – the average is really tanked. I kind of wonder how much Wilson Contreras is motivated right now, if I'm being completely honest with you. You know, William Contreras has had a great season as well. Tyler Stevenson, before the injury, you know, was on his way to being a top three catcher. I am just – look, and part of it is being a prospect guy and being sometimes too overly aggressive with this stuff. But I am ranking Adley Rutschman as my second catcher to open next year, and you can make fun of me in a few months.
I agree with you, too. And the other thing that matters here is that he's batted second for the Orioles the last couple of weeks.
Yep.
So if he's going to hit in the heart of the lineup, there aren't a lot of catchers to do that, obviously. So the counting stats will be there as well. That's a huge factor to consider. And there's a reason that people who are smart and do this for a living, like yourself and many other people out there, you know, that you believe in the talent, and you know, you get some right sometimes.
Yeah, every once in a while. And I'll say this too, there are some guys like Jonah Heim is the sixth ranked catcher next year. I'm sorry, I'm not ranking Jonah Heim ahead of Adley Rutschman in any stretch of the imagination. Christian Vasquez,
nice player.
Yeah. Christian Vasquez ranks ahead of him. There's no way in hell I am ranking Christian Vasquez ahead of Adley Rutschman.
Can I jump in here? And we were talking about this guy before we started recording, but Joey Bart, I mean, he's really come on up late and been excellent. He was a highly touted prospect who everybody believed in as the catcher of the future in San Francisco. Yeah. I mean, a hot take, McGee corner, but are you putting him close to your top five next year based on the fact that he's going to be playing every day?
Top 8 to top 10, for sure. Yeah, and it's I will reserve the right to change that to higher if he finishes the year the way he's doing this. Because, like, this was a guy who looked lost at the plate to begin the year. Just absolutely lost. And give him credit. His WRC, I know because I follow a bunch of Giants fans, is up to 109 now. And that's really impressive considering how bad that number was not long ago. And I'll say this too, like, catcher is bad right now. It's not going to be for long. There are so many good prospects at this position. There are good young players like Keibert Ruiz, who I still have some long-term hope for, Cal Raleigh, Salvador Perez, a young guy who is, no, I'm just kidding, but Salvador Perez will be a guy that I think a lot of people will rank ahead of Adley Rutschman. I can't do it. I just don't believe in the average whatsoever. I think 223, which he's put up right now, it's pretty close to what he's going to be doing. And I'll take the guy who can hit 270 and hit 20 home runs over the guy who might hit 210 and hit 35. You just are relying so much on that power category with Salvador Perez, but it is
and
fun.
Also, those home runs are a little bit less valuable now since there's so much more power in the fantasy landscape.
Great point.
Like you can get power everywhere. It's not a unique skill anymore. So finding a more well-rounded catcher like a Rutschman who can give you the batting average, the counting stats, that's going to end up being much more valuable from a fantasy perspective.
So let's talk about somebody, speaking of the Kansas City Royals, Bobby Witt Jr., who another guy who got off to a terrible start. I've been impressed with what I've seen from him lately as well. Like, the 299 on base percentage isn't what you're necessarily signing up for, but showing the power, showing the speed, the combo meals are coming, and you know, the talent, I think, approaches basically any young player in the baseball. Where's Bobby Witt Jr. ranking for you in shortstops, George?
Man, I thought you were going to say overall because
overall's fine.
I mean, I think he's easily like a top 30 guy. Like,
I like it.
That's not too aggressive, I don't think.
No.
Again, this goes back to our conversations we were having last year. I feel like maybe not on this show, but internally, it's the Wander Franco hype got crazy because he wasn't a stolen base threat. So it became difficult to envision why you would take him in the second round of a fantasy draft. But I think with Witt, you know, he's going to grade out as a top five shortstop this year, which is crazy when you consider the depth of the position. But I think I'd comfortably have him behind Trey Turner and Francisco Lindor. And that might be it. Mm. As much as I love Andrés Giménez, like, I think I'd feel more confident in Witt going forward. And then Dansby Swanson's had an incredible year, but I can't see him finishing as a top three shortstop every season. So no. I think the floor, when you look at, he's already at 15 homers and he's over 20 steals. Now, if he finishes the year with 20 homers and over 30 steals, and even with a 250, 260 batting average, that's probably a top two, three round player. And that's a top 50 overall guy.
Yeah, I would say.
I can't imagine you're going to be drafting him outside the top 50 next year, going into his age, 23 season? That won't happen.
You know what's going to be really interesting to me is how many rosters have him as a starting third baseman, assuming he gets that eligibility, over shortstop. Because that position is not good. And you can find guys – you can't find Bobby Witt Jr.'s, like, everywhere, but you can find – a Willy Adames type or someone like that to be your starting shortstop. If you don't have one of the top four or so third basemen, that position, man, it's not great. It's weird because it looked so good to me coming into the 2020 year, and it just doesn't look the same now. But yeah, I'll probably draft Bobby Witt Jr. a few times in the second round. I just believe in that skill set so very much. Hey, George, guess what?
Doers, mowing season is here. With Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas-like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas-like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower just $329 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Weekends are better with MLB's Sunday Leadoff, coverage presented by Uber Eats. Catch the White Sox take on the Guardians in Cleveland this Sunday at 11:30 a.m. Eastern, live on NBC and Peacock. To learn more, go to peacocktv.com/MLB. I had it right the first time. And if you want a chance to win $25,000 on the game, download the NBC Sports Predictor app powered by PointsBet and enter Sunday's free Grand Slam Pick and Contest. And just a reminder, if you haven't downloaded that NBC Sports Predictor app powered by PointsBet, go download it now. The contests are free and easy to play, and give you a shot to win thousands of dollars by predicting what will happen in Major League Baseball, on the PGA Tour, NASCAR circuit, and the Premier League. We also have a special contest on Tuesday and Thursday called Battle of the Bets, where you can agree or disagree with our experts for a shot to collect some cash. George, you are not eligible. I'm sorry. You keep asking me about it. You're not eligible, but everybody else, go win some money. We like to give away money. It's a lot of fun.
I will say I love the Sunday leadoff. It's my favorite thing now. It makes it so much more enjoyable to start your Sunday off. Nice. You get to relax, have your coffee, watch a little bit, and it pushes the rest of the start times back, which is nice for us folks covering them. So
we're biased too, but the announcers are so good. Yes. Like so good. Like I think we've got the best announcers going right now. And my buddy Ahmed does such a great job with what he's doing over there as well. Sometimes I think he's having a little too much fun and I get a little bit jealous, but let's continue our 2023 thing. Let's talk about the guy who was considered one of the best prospects ever. Wander Franco. George, where is Wander Franco ranking for you next year?
Well, he's had a weird year because of all the leg issues, and those are always tricky. And it feels like he tried to come back too soon and maybe pushed it. And then you get the setbacks, and then what did he have? Was it a wrist
fracture? Yeah,
wrist fracture. Yep. So that's a hip hop, and just kind of a weird year. I'm not concerned about him long term. I mean, a year ago he was being drafted in the second round of fantasy drafts. So
yep.
Coming off a year in which he hit 288 in 70 games. Yeah. So. The difficult thing is he's only 21 years old, so is he immediately going to come in and be this guy who is a 30 home run threat? I don't know. If baseball is weird, if there's anything we've learned, it's that anything can happen at this point. Sure. So
yeah.
I wouldn't rule that out. The range of outcomes is very vast at this point with Franco. So I struggle with him because he doesn't steal bases. So a lot of the guys we've talked about to this point, the Rodriguez's and the Witt Juniors, those are guys you can put 20 steals in the bank. You know they're going to get there. With Franco, it's not going to be more than a handful. So that limits where the ceiling can go.
Yeah.
And I struggle with where to rank him. I think he'll probably be around top 10 at the position. But you have to factor in that you have still guys at the position like a Xander Bogaerts, a Corey Seager. They're going to be similar statistical profiles. Then you have Tim Anderson coming back. If he gives you a full season, he's probably up there. Jazz Chisholm. So there's a couple guys who are probably going to be the next ahead of him that I feel safer with, but he's probably in that top 10 range for me at shortstop.
Same for me. I will say this, like if I'm not able to draft Wander Franco, I'm going to be really aggressive in trying to trade for him because like his talent, he's the most talented. He is easily the most talented player that I've ever scouted. Like not even close. And, you know, I think he is going to turn 22 next year. Yeah. 22 on March 1st, the breakout season's coming. If it's not next year, it's the year after that. And I'll just keep going with that until he turns like 36, to be completely honest with you. But I will say he's stolen more bases than he stole 5 in 58. That's not great, but at the same time, you know, it does give him a chance for that double digit stuff. And you'd prefer higher, especially for someone who can run like him, you'd like to see a much higher rate. It's nice to see that he's been successful in his chances, 7 out of 8, but only 8 stolen base chances in 128 games. It's just not what you want to see from the fantasy perspective. However, I do think this is a guy who can hit 315 with 30 home runs. So you know what, the word we're not allowed to say is stolen bases, if he's doing that, to be completely honest with you. Now, he's more than capable of being that type of player. And let's do one more hitter. And this is a guy I didn't think that we were going to be talking about very much this year. I think we talked about him on one of our waiver wire shows when he was called up. Michael Harris has been fantastic and somewhat underrated, I think, in terms of what he's doing as a young player, just because there's just so many young talents in baseball doing such incredible things. Where is Michael Harris ranking for you next year?
He's probably the rookie I've been the most impressed with that wasn't a consensus top like 5-10 prospect
sure.
game coming in. I mean, he's no Vaughn Grissom, but like
what is in the water in Atlanta, man?
Oh man, I love those guys. Grissom's such a fun player too, but Harris, the consistency is what really gets you. I mean, to come in having not played above double A really, and to be able to come out and hit 290 for 2 months now is extremely impressive. So this is the type of guy where he just kind of comes up and is just there for 10 years and you go, okay, this is what we're doing now. So he's not going to be ever out of the lineup. The one thing the concern I have is that he's batted at the bottom of the order pretty much.
Yes.
They haven't given him a ton of opportunities towards the top of the lineup. I think he could handle that. There's just no reason to push him as a rookie who's 21.
Right.
So that's the question with him moving forward is, what are the counting stats going to look like? What does the rest of that Braves lineup look like? So if you have him batting like second behind Ronald Acuna, you're looking at an incredible lineup there. So, but they just don't have any room for him at the moment at the top of the lineup. So
it's such a nice problem for them to have. You know,
yeah, it's a classy problem. Yeah. But he's already at 12 home runs this season in 70 games. So
yeah, 13 steals as well without being caught, which is
He reminds me a lot of Christian Yelich. Is the comp I have. That's
a good one.
That's what I think he's going to be, a five category impact guy who
he
may not have that like peak. Remember the Yelich MVP seasons?
He might only have that once. Well.
Right. He may only do that once or twice in his career, but like the rest of the time, he's going to be a consistent five category guy, and he's going to be here for a long time. I've been so impressed with him, just the consistency day in and day out.
My one concern with Harris, the approach has got to get considerably better. I think it's 64-10 strikeout to walk ratio, and to still be hitting 291. That's relying on some BABIP. Now, he's also in the 77th percentile in hard hit percentage, and his expected batting average is in the 88th percentile because he makes contact and he makes hard contact. But I would like to see the approach get up there. This could be a guy who makes like be a better player next year with a lower batting average, just because, you know, the BABIP luck doesn't always carry over. But man, am I impressed. What round do you think you're targeting Harrison?
Oh, I feel like I'm going to be super aggressive on him.
Do it. I said Adley Rutschman's the second best catcher. You can't out aggressive me.
Outfield's deeper. So
yes,
with that caveat,
outfielder's deeper than catcher. You really think you're going to go on record with that?
Well, no, if you were an infielder, I don't think you'd be talking the second, third round potentially.
No, for sure.
I think you're looking at like 6-7. Definitely in the top 100.
Top 100 player for sure. Yeah.
Once you get past that like top 60, it's kind of it's like a dealer's choice. Like
yes.
Wherever you're comfortable with, you're probably wherever you have that player valued, that's probably right, because it's all differences of opinion, I think, once you get outside the top 50. I used to think like it was the top 100, but now that I see more advanced more aggressive approaches inside the top 100. So do what you feel comfortable with, and I think he's definitely gonna be inside the top 100 if he keeps doing this and the approach improves a little bit. I mean, you're looking at a guy who could potentially be first round like Jose Ramirez type of impact contributor here down the line eventually. So I really like him a lot.
I like him a lot too, and I've been so impressed with what I've seen. Like, again, this is an impressive young class. This is a bunch of young dudes who I think are going to be. I still have lots of hope for people, even like Spencer Torkelson, who just could not make hard contact whatsoever, but was really impressed still with the approach at the plate that he showed. Riley Green is going to be an excellent player. Hell, I'm still not giving up on Jared Kelnick. Dang it. I will not give up on you, Jared. You can do this. You're only 23 years old. There is time.
Boy, did you see the tweet about, because Harris is a guy from the 2019 draft class, but that draft class might go down as one of the greatest of all time in history. Yeah,
absolutely. I'm going to make DJ make me write an article about that 2019 class during the offseason, because I think a redraft of that will be fascinating, even though it's only been 3 years. I am demanding to do a redraft of that class just because it's so fascinating. Let's talk about some pitchers to close out the show. And I know pitchers are not as fun as those young talents that we just named. Goodness gracious. I mean, some of those guys we're named are going like top 15 in a dynasty draft if we did a start over type of thing, few much higher than that. We'll talk about some pitchers to end it, because pitchers matter too. Pitchers matter too. And we'll stay in the Atlanta theme. Kyle Wright, who I don't think was on anybody's fantasy radar to begin the year, has had a few clunkers, but for the most part has been a pretty solid option. Where are you ranking Kyle Wright to begin the next year?
Yeah, I really struggle with pitchers just because, like you said, Kyle Wright was someone who the fantasy community kind of ignored. But
yeah,
he made changes last postseason. You could see the signs there that he was sort of primed to take a step forward. I don't think anybody thought he was going to be this good, where he was, you know, going to be potentially a top 20 fantasy starter. But
right.
You know, I think he's at the point where you can comfortably put him in your top 40.
Yeah.
Maybe push him a little bit higher, depending on how you feel about some of the veteran arms that are going to, you know, if you're just looking at like a player rater right now, you're going to see some guys we would have much higher if we were redrafting today, like a Brandon Woodruff and, you know, Robbie Ray, guys like that, Kevin Gausman. Sure. They're going to be lower than a lot of guys above them, but you would draft them before them for next year. So I think that maybe pushes right down a little bit, where I think he's right around that 40 range. Like, if you had to pick between him and Pablo Lopez, like, yeah, I think that's where the conversation is for me. I think he's put himself in that category where I feel comfortable with him as a mid, you know, front of the road, not like an elite fantasy starter, but he's right there as one of those guys who's going to solidify your staff.
Yeah, I'm probably in that top 25 to 30, so a little higher than you, but certainly a guy that I want on my roster. I'd prefer him to be my starting pitcher two than my starting pitcher one, for sure. But, you know, if you get him as your starting pitcher three, congratulations. That's excellent. I cannot believe that Kyle Wright has 15 quality starts this year. Like, if you would have told me to begin the year that Kyle Wright had 7 quality starts, I'd be like, whoa, how many guys got hurt for the Braves? What happened? Like, he has been so much better, and it's refreshing for me to see as a guy who saw him pitch at Vanderbilt and just looked like a potential number one overall pick. To see him finally tap into this stuff has been really encouraging. It wouldn't shock me if he regressed a little bit next year, because that's what pitchers do. And the command still, you know, every once in a while you see it. He was excellent in his last start, though, and you have to love Atlanta. Like, that they have built such an impressive thing. Part of it on terribly signed contracts by players, unfortunately, but that is just the nature of the business, unfortunately. But Atlanta is not going anywhere. A guy I thought might be a top ranked in the similar range, but I'm not so sure anymore, and it kind of hurts my heart a little bit, because again, want the Mariners to do well for grandma. Logan Gilbert got off to an outstanding start, but has been really bad as of late. How concerned are you, George, about what you've seen from Logan Gilbert as of late? We can ask for 2022 as well, but like 2023, where are you ranking Logan Gilbert to begin the year?
Yeah, so I haven't delved into what's causing the issues, but he's given up, I think it's 16 runs over his last 3 starts combined. So that takes him back to the start of the month. And
yeah,
the walks have been up in those outings. So he's definitely a guy where we're going to do a deeper dive at some point. It's really tough in the day-to-day of the season. You go, yeah. There's a caliber of player where you go, huh, that was a bad outing, and then you move on.
Yes.
That's kind of what we've been doing with Gilbert. If he had a mediocre start, it was like, huh, well, that one wasn't great, and you turn the page. But when you get that many in a row, that's where you start to go, okay, is there an injury going on? Is something causing this? So I think that's something we'll look into, but I don't have an answer for you there. I wish I did. But yeah, it's something to watch here, and we've seen guys just sort of lose it here towards the end of the season. So I don't know if it's a workload thing. He's only at 138 innings, so, and that's kind of where he was I want to say last year in that range. So
give or take.
I think if you're the Mariners, you still roll him out there every day and hope he can kind of work on things and get things right. But it's definitely a cause for concern. I think where I struggle with Gilbert for next year is the strikeout rate is an elite. So he does project as a sort of elite, like command control guy who can put up low ERAs if he's got some batted ball luck and some defense behind him.
Right.
But the lack of the elite strikeout rate is going to push him down to the point where, like, I'd rather probably have like a Spencer Strider just for the strikeout upside alone. Like,
he, sure.
So that's probably going to push him down to like the 40 range, like in that Kyle Wright territory for me.
Yeah, I would say top 35 to 50, somewhere around that range. I will point out, this is his first full season. He did make 24 starts last year, but this is his first time of just being a true major leaguer, had his service time manipulated to begin the season last year. He made 24 starts, interestingly enough, only threw 119 in the third inning. So this is a career high type of thing, but it's been not just like lately. It's been really since the second half of the season. And I don't think people realize Logan Gilbert is in the bottom 2 percentile in average X velocity, in the bottom 3 percentile in hard hit percentage. Like, he's getting hit hard. And so much of what he does is based on extension and deception. Like, he ranks in the 99th. By the way, that's an amazing tool that Baseball Savant has put up, the extension number, to be able to tell, like, just how much that matters for deception and stuff, to be able to get on hitters as fast as he does at 6'6", 215 pounds. I'm a very big believer in Logan Gilbert in the long term, but I think I've seen enough struggles this year that I can't count on him. Like, I thought this was going to be the guy that you'd want as your number two starter coming into the year, or coming into 2023, and he still could be that. But, like, I'm ranking George Kirby ahead of Logan Gilbert next year. I just believe in Logan Gilbert's stuff and the command of that stuff. Is that a hot take, George?
No, I just – George Kirby, like, you're right. He might just be better next year. So
yeah, he could be. Yeah. In fact, I'll say this. If the Seattle Mariners make the playoffs, the starting rotation should be – I don't know if it will be, but it should be, if they line everything up, Luis Castillo, Robbie Ray, and George Kirby making that third start, which I cannot believe that he's usurped Logan Gilbert. But that's more compliment to Kirby than insult to Gilbert.
It is nice that Luis Castillo has come in and basically been like 1999 Pedro Martinez. That's a fun development for Seattle there.
Did you get to watch that game last night between him and Otani?
It was
good. It wasn't quite as good as the Cole Castillo game. Well, score some runs for the guy, by the way.
How about Otani just busting out a two-seamer? You're like, yeah. Oh, wow, he's just going to do that? Like, he's just been messing around in the bullpen. He's like, let me throw this 97-mile-an-hour drop here. Like, okay.
Yeah.
It's a video game. Like, when you get to that level of talent.
By the way, look for Shohei Ohtani to do good things in 2023. Hot take McGee is here, and he's here to tell you to look to add, especially if Shohei Ohtani is available in as two people. Yeah,
pick him up.
Yeah, he's definitely a guy I would look to add.
The thing that's throwing me off is you mentioned the extension stat, and I just, like, had flashbacks to Carter Capps and, like, the illegal delivery. And, like,
oh, that was so illegal.
Of extension.
For those of you who are either too young or just not, I don't know what the right word would be, but go look up Carter Capps' delivery, because
how about go look at his stats, because he had like a negative FIP 1 year. It was basically was unhittable. He had like a 22 K per nine. Like,
he was in Seattle. Was that the Wade Miley trade that Carter Capps was in? There's
it was
no way
with Miami though.
We can't. There's no way we can continue this without knowing where Carter Capps' trade luck was going on. I'm going to look that up
In 30 innings, 17 strikeouts per nine, a 1.16 ERA. His FIP was 1.10. He was worth a win in 30 innings that year.
That's insane. By the way,
2015 was a wild
time. He was traded to Miami from Seattle for Logan Morrison in 2013. Wow. Oh my gosh, I'm going to die someday. Joe Ryan started the year as the ace of the Minnesota Twins. Literally, he started the opening game. I've seen a lot of ups and a lot of downs from Joe Ryan. I was actually really impressed with the start that I watched last night. He gave up a 2-run home run to Vinny Pasquantino, and then he looked very good from that point on. How Boy, is it ever. Vinny Pasquantino. My goodness gracious, has that guy been impressive, especially as of late. Stop distracting me with Vinny Pasquantino, George. Where are you drafting Joe Ryan to begin 2023?
I think he's a top 50 guy. He's going to have the occasional blow-up outing that just you're going to like, oof, that's going to be a tough one.
Yes.
That's going to happen. But the strikeouts have been there, and that's the thing I like lately. He really wasn't missing a lot of bats for a while, but it feels like his good starts when he's really on, he can get, you know, at 7, 8, 9 strikeouts over 5, 6 innings. So I like him. I think he's a top 50 guy pretty comfortably at this point. I think that's where he's at in the player rater too, if you were to look at those valuation systems. So
sure.
Yeah, I think his spot's safe there in Minnesota. This was a really nice trade that they pulled off there. To get him.
Yeah.
I've been really impressed with what the Twins are doing. And, you know, they have a weird staff when you look at what's going on right now.
They really do.
It's like Chris Archer is out there. Like, it's weird times there, but they're making it work. So,
yes.
He's only 26, so.
Yeah, I think people forget that, you know, because he had some time last year, that this is really his first full season of MLB action. And I think you should be encouraged by the numbers that he's put up. But like you said, because he is not a guy who throws super hard, a fastball that's usually right around 92 miles an hour, you're not going to see those elite strikeouts. And if he doesn't have his best command, he has the chance to be shell-shocked. That is just going to be a thing. But I think he has one of the higher – I would say – he has the highest floor of the three starters we mentioned. Is that fair?
Yeah. I mean, he's super durable too. He's at 100 innings already, 19 starts. And he kind of like Brady Singer is a guy who's pitched really well of late.
Yes.
That's like kind of that caliber of pitcher I look at right now, where it's like guys who are going to go out there and pitch every 5 days and be really consistent. So Singer's probably in that class for me, where he's like pushing a top 50 spot right now if he keeps pitching the way he has. So once again, a pair of young guys who've kind of taken a step forward as they've gotten more experience. It turns out when you let guys go pitch, they get better sometimes. So
how about that?
Good strategy for rebuilding teams.
Yes, it is indeed. George, this was fun. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for everybody who is joining us. You were joining us in a different way, but your listening counts as joining us. You can follow me at Crawford_MILB, and you can follow George at George Bissell, SSLL. Make sure that you are following everything, NBC Sports Edge Baseball, NBC Sports Edge, you know, all that good stuff. Stay tuned, by the way, for those of you who are listening to the podcast on Wednesday, definitely check out, we're going to be doing a 12-hour Sunday, like an all-day marathon NFL draft thing, which is going to be really, really cool to see, featuring some guy named Matthew Berry. I have you ever heard of that guy?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little weird to be co-workers with him now.
Yeah, we're co-workers. Like
technically,
Matthew Berry.
We work with Matthew Berry, so that's like something I never thought would happen in my life.
Hey,
here we are.
I knew it would happen for you, but I was never all that sure that it would happen for me. Stay tuned also on Friday, technically, for Drew and DJ for their show. I'm sure they'll have either a special guest or they won't need it because they'll just have a really good show. So thanks again, everybody. We'll see you soon and enjoy the rest of your week.
With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.